It's the Rule of Threes podcast. It's Tuesday, October 16th. I'm Chris Grace.
And I'm Casey Lawrence.
We are here. A week has passed. Official basketball has started.
Has started. And the Spurs are down another guard.
Oh, are they? I missed that.
I mean, Rudy Gay was gone. And then the backup, Frank Walker. Or no, I forget what his name was. But the guy who was their rookie from last year.
Uh-huh.
Who was going to be like, oh, this guy's going to fill in for a bit now that Murray's gone. He had a fracture in his foot and he's out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
So, boy, those Spurs. We got to see if they can play anybody at the point.
Yeah. Well, they can play
Patty Mills.
Patty Mills, 48 minutes a game.
That's, hey, you know, if anybody can do it, it's Patty Mills.
Casey, I was in Cleveland this last week.
Whoa. How was it out in Cleveland?
I was, you know, shooting a movie.
Whoa. So fun.
I could not have had a smaller part to shoot.
I'm sure you could have.
Yeah, I could have had no part.
Yeah.
As well. Yes, I shot a very small part in we'll talk about it when it's closer to release, but apparently it was bought by Netflix.
Oh wow.
And it'll be on Netflix.
That's great.
It's a young adult kind of thing. So
yeah. Hey, the Netflix has been hot on those young adult movies.
Yeah, and it's decidedly
to all the boys I've ever loved.
It's exactly in the pocket of those movies, and a good way to feel old is to hang around a bunch of cast that are in movies like that. You know, people that are like that have either not seen or not heard of Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh yeah, why would anyone have heard of the Nightmare Before Christmas? You know,
I posted this on my Facebook, but a guy that I flew in with, he's got a much bigger part in the movie. He's 20, he's in his 20s. And, you know, he just moved to LA in January. And and I was like, oh, you're going to be in this young adult movie. Like, you're going to get a lot of social media people following me now. But I didn't realize he was on a soap in a different country for a while.
Oh.
So he already has 51,000 Instagram followers.
Oh, you know.
And he's already a series regular in a CBS sitcom.
Oh, you know. Hey.
So
it'll happen.
But let me tell you something about Cleveland that I noticed. I feel this whole last 6 months has been an evolution of what I feel about LeBron and the Cavaliers.
Okay.
And this is just what I'll say about Cleveland. And this is only data gathered from my Lyft drivers. And from people in restaurants and at the hotel.
Okay.
I don't the importance of that 2016 championship to the people there is very high. And especially because the Browns have been so bad. Oh. This is the narrative, basically.
Browns have been bad.
You know, one guy was like, I've been watching the Browns since 1990 or something, and I was like, how many winning seasons have they had? And they've had one, and they didn't make the playoffs,
and they moved.
Uh-huh.
Right, so they moved in the middle of the 90s, and then they were brought back.
That was like a period of time in the middle of the night they became the Colts.
That is not entirely correct. The middle of the night move was there was the Baltimore Colts moving to Indianapolis.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, yes, yes.
That's the famous, like, we moved our stuff literally in the middle of the night.
Right.
And that was back in the 70s or the 80s. I can't remember exactly. But, yeah, they moved, changed the team name, and now the team that is now the Baltimore Ravens was the
right.
Browns.
Right. This Browns is, like, a wholly new expansion, right?
It's a wholly new expansion. But what they did is they merged the previous team records with the new team, which is a weird thing. A little.
There's something in the past about the Celtics and like the Buffalo team,
yeah,
just trading ownership.
Oh,
like they literally just were like, it was two owners, and they were like, okay, I own the Celtics now, and you own the Buffalo Braves or whatever it is.
it's like a rich person timeshare.
Just yeah,
like, you know, I was hoping to like house swap for a summer, and you know, just kind of get out of the city and get to the wilderness of Buffalo.
Yeah. So it means a lot to the people that live there that I came across.
Yeah,
and so I'm a little softer now about. I think when you see up close and personal the fans that are so gratified by like winning a championship like that, it makes you feel a little less, you know, harsh about the fact that they suck.
Yeah.
And shouldn't have won.
Yeah.
And like that, that if Draymond hadn't been suspended, they probably would have lost.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny how that just like, it feels like that's just something that happens, right? It's like when this team wins, like, you know, you think about the last year when the Astros won the World Series. And like, this is something that you don't get a ton of in basketball. In the last 20 years, there have only been 8 teams that have won a title.
Yeah.
Right. And that is not a lot. I was reading this on Twitter, and baseball, it's been like 12 or 13, hockey, 12 or 13, football, 12. Like there's just a lot more teams that have won.
Mm-hmm.
And in basketball, it's a lot of the same teams. And that is an interesting kind of thing where like, it does mean a lot to Cleveland because it's a rare thing for teams that aren't, the Lakers, the Spurs, the Celtics, the Warriors, the Heat, the Mavericks,
76ers,
the Pacers, sorry, the Pistons, or the, Cavs to win.
Viewed through that lens, I could see a person thinking that the Golden State Warriors fans are very smug and shouldn't someone else win at this point.
So
it's, I guess, because I used to, I mean, a major factor in me rooting for the Warriors was also rooting against LeBron.
Yeah.
So all these factors are gone now, essentially. So this might be the year that I don't really root for the Warriors very hard.
That you know what? I think that this is the year to do that.
Yeah.
Because you don't hate LeBron. You don't hate Cleveland. You don't.
We're we'll see about LeBron. We'll see.
We're not going to see. We're 100% going to see, yes.
The other fucking thing I did was I watched half of The Shop and had to stop it because it was so lame.
Was it lame?
That's a bummer. God.
Because it seems like it could be cool.
It's fine. It's whatever. But there's two bullshit things in it. One is, it is so cringy. Jon Stewart talking to these guys and subconsciously, like, he's like, he's just talking like this. And then he's like, and you know, when I'm coming in and I'm like trying to do my shit, like he starts like essentially ebonicizing his language in a really gross way.
Got it.
It is horrible.
Oh, that, I could see that being very, very cringy.
And the other thing that is just fucking stupid is Jerrod Carmichael. Oh, you would love this. You know what? You should watch this episode.
I should watch this one?
Yeah, because he talks about how lame Hamilton is.
Take that.
And I will say that part of that impulse to me is I don't know how old he is, 20-something or 30?
Yeah, he's young. 30-something.
I think whatever you think about Hamilton, that it's of a certain genre of hip-hop that is not current. And there is a certain degree of youngins trying to tell us all that current hip hop is good, even though it sucks.
Ooh, okay. All right. The hip hop hot takes are coming through.
Yeah. So anyway, I watched and the stuff about like, unfortunately, The Shop feels very, it's supposed to feel very raw and unfiltered, and it doesn't feel that way to me.
There's nothing that's going to come out of that that's going to be raw and unfiltered. It's going to be very filtered because LeBron James is in control of his image, and he is very, very, you know, protective of that as well.
Now, did LeBron James bring up Maverick Carter and Rich Paul?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is an interesting thing. I actually, you know, I was very skeptical about their abilities in their various roles, but I wonder if part of it is also that their rise is also kind of showing like maybe these jobs aren't that hard if you're pretty smart about them and you're attached to a great player.
That's part of it. But also like, I don't think we can knock these guys' talents because there's no way for us to tell.
Yeah.
What is, you know, the LeBron aura and what is their hard work? Because, you know, we don't know.
They're probably doing both. And also all the people that have been agents and managers before have had different auras around them.
Yeah.
One of them might be like, you know, straight white guys get these jobs or whatever.
It's so funny because you meant to say might be like, but you're like, one of them might be like.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And be one like, of those white, be like straight white guys should do this. White be like straight. Yeah, that's just how history has worked.
That's the new hashtag. White be like.
White be like.
I will say, if you want to see some of Rich Paul's negotiations, he's in the Ben Simmons rookie documentary.
Ooh, I I feel like when you were watching that, you were telling me that that was a real interesting watch.
Oh, it's very interesting because there's tensions between him and his family about, like, is he getting too big for his britches kind of thing. Mm. And also, because I think his dad was also a player.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't have many topics to talk about this week, but it fits nicely with the second one, which is we did our NBA preview.
Yeah.
And then I listened to some NBA previews this week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is what I will say. Casey and I do this for free. We are fans. We put some time into it. You probably put more time into it than I do, but it's not our full-time job.
No, this is not my full-time job, but unless Squarespace comes through and it's
that's
like,
right. Unless we discover the Casper mattress that has gold in it.
Yes.
Our level of basketball and analysis is as accurate and deep as anything you hear from the fucking six NBA podcasts that you listen to that all picked the exact same like Western and Eastern Conference preview teams as we did.
Hey, nobody was in my deep dive and picking Memphis to come into the West.
You know, that's true because that guy, Chris, whatever from the Ringer podcast who like lives in Memphis and is like a pool reporter for Memphis.
Yeah.
Even he did not pick Memphis to rise. But like listening to them, we are definitely shallow observers of the league. Yeah. So I would say if I go to listen to like a Ringer podcast, someone who's it's their full-time job, that I want them to bring some further level of depth to their analyses of these things. And they don't, they totally don't at all.
No, I mean, you know, I would say it's partially the medium, right? Cause like, I feel like the articles are well thought out and nuanced most of the time. There's the fun ones. There's like fun articles that they
do. You know that they, you know, they have to churn.
Yeah.
So they have been putting out some bad stuff. That's like, I think we talked before where they have like their editorial assistants, like, you know, basically Lakers plus stupid take equals page views for them.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, I'm clicking on those articles.
Exactly.
You know, and you're clicking on those articles because you love being mad about Lakers stuff.
I love correcting people.
You should get on that new College Humor show. Well, actually,
is that what it's called?
It's a new College Humor game show where, there's a phrase that is read out where one thing is wrong and you have to buzz in and say, well, actually, Gandalf was not the white until he fell down the pit with the Balrog and then he transformed and was reborn.
I like that.
It's pretty funny. You should.
Side note, all the deaths in Lord of the Rings are stupid.
Yeah, I also have not seen Lord of the Rings past the beginning of the second one.
There's no need to catch up at this point.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're boring.
By the way, the second one is extremely boring.
I fell asleep.
More boring is the last 45 minutes of the third one.
Yeah, God.
Actually thought about starting a separate podcast called I Think I Hate the MCU.
Ooh, God, I know a co-host for you.
Oh, one episode each for each of the fucking 20 movies that have come out so far. I read a thing, that Vox put out an article today that was like, why is the Marvel Universe so empty? Why does it feel so empty? And in it, they said that Kevin Feige has said that there's like 20 more movies coming in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
So I think like it would just be me watching one movie and just telling why it sucks.
Can I say why it's good that it's empty?
Why?
Because think about like the known universe.
Uh-huh.
The known universe is mostly space.
Oh.
Right? The known universe is 99.99% empty.
Yes.
Right? And if you think about it, what better way to be a cinematic universe than to be completely empty and devoid?
Even of like meaning or
right?
Good content?
And like the only thing that's there is like the blind luck of a spark of life on one planet. This has been your moment of chill thoughts.
So we both watched a little bit of Celtics Sixers tonight.
Opening night. It's just so good to have basketball back. And then to watch the first 3 minutes of that game just be a complete fucking shit show.
Oh.
Was hilarious.
Well, let me tell you something that was also a shit show just before that, which was I wanted to watch some basketball earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I didn't realize that they play preseason games and then they just kind of stop for like 4 days.
Yeah, yes.
So the only game that I had that I was interested in was Hawks, Who was it? Hawks, Miami.
Oh, was that the one where Trae Young hit the buzzer beater?
I don't think he... No, they lost this game.
Okay.
But Jeremy Lin had 20 points.
Great.
But there were stretches of that game that were just execrable basketball.
Yeah.
But actually, I like Trae Young.
I don't know who wants to hear about it, but I did draft him on my one fantasy team.
Ooh.
Down to one team.
Snake draft?
Snake draft.
What was your pick?
I had the 8th pick of 12.
Okay.
So I think we should probably go through and can you so give you me
like a, 8 and 16?
I had 8 and 17.
17.
Yeah. Will you go through and grade my draft?
Oh, sure. In a league like that, is it like, I'm trying to think of who goes first in a league like that. Does defense count, like steals and stuff?
Steals and blocks and stuff, yeah.
So, like, doesn't Anthony Davis go first?
Anthony Davis and James Harden and Giannis go first.
And then, like, LeBron and KD.
LeBron, KD, Kat.
Steph.
Kevin Durant.
Those people that all went ahead of you?
Yes. So, all those people were gone. And then I was mad because I didn't want to pick either Westbrook or Oladipo or Damian Lillard or Jokic. Uh-huh. I hated all of those picks as a first-round pick. So I went and I stretched it out, and I picked Kawhi Leonard.
By that, you mean you extended your contract for an extra 3 years?
Exactly. I'm staying in Toronto, okay? It's funny because on Saturday morning, I went to a... I was in dire need of a beard trimmer because I lost it in the move.
Uh-huh.
And so the only thing that was open at...
Your beard looks very tidy.
Thank you. The only thing that was open at 8 a.m. To get a beard trimmer was the Ross by my house. So I walked over to the Ross.
I would never even think that a Ross has a beard trimmer.
Oh, yeah. And they have such shitty beard trimmers. I can't wait to get a good one. And I walked over to the Marshalls to like see if they had a better one, and they just had the exact same fucking beard trimmers because Ross and Marshalls are the exact same store. But what they did have at the Ross or at the Marshalls that I bought that I was like very happy about were some NBA Toronto Raptors Stance socks that have the OVO uniforms on the pictures, and it's Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, it looks so good. So I'm excited that
any retail experience in the U.S. If you put in some NBA loss leaders, you're gonna get Casey.
You're gonna get me into the store, and I will likely buy them.
Yeah,
it was very good. My second round.
Wait, so you went with Kawhi? I think that's reasonable. If I cared about winning, I'd probably pick Westbrook, but I have been known also to like not pick players I don't like. I don't like having players I don't like on my fantasy team.
That's fair. My second pick, I picked Donovan Mitchell at 17.
Okay.
And the people that were picked after Donovan were Beal, Irving, Wall, and Drummond.
That's pretty good. I feel like Wall kind of fills up stats sometimes.
Yeah, I think so too. But I think there's like he gets injured. And
a horrible person to have to have an association with.
Yeah. My next pick was Draymond Green.
Excellent.
And I picked him over LaMarcus and Tobias Harris. And
ooh, LaMarcus is a pretty good pick, though.
I went Draymond because I thought I was missing rebounds and like blocks and steals and shit. So
Is this head-to-head or is it?
It's head-to-head.
Okay.
Yeah. My next pick was Gary Harris.
Okay.
And so the people that
that's a very good pick.
I think he's going to be great.
I think we talked before about things I don't like about his game, but none of them show up in fantasy.
Yeah, it was either, for me at that point, it was either Gary Harris or Blake Griffin, and I went Gary Harris.
Yeah, Blake is just like, you're not sure how many games you're going to get from him.
Yeah. My next pick, I went to John Collins from Atlanta.
Oh.
Because I think he's going to be very good this season.
Yes, but also, I watched half a game of theirs, and I don't know who that is.
He was their rookie last year.
Okay.
In that spot, I was like, I don't want Ricky Rubio or Zach LaVine. I need a power forward. And then I went to Paul Millsap on the next one.
I think Rubio is one of the the great like could have beens in fantasy basketball.
Yeah, because he's always going to bring down your...
Everybody thought he'd like improve his shooting because, you know, he got the assists.
Yeah.
All right. Who was next?
Then I got Steven Adams.
Okay.
Steven Adams, I've drafted him maybe 3 or 4 years in a row on my fantasy team. Love having him on my fantasy team. Then I picked Trae Young.
Okay.
And then I went with.
Especially I feel like in a head to head league, Trae Young might win you a week.
I mean, he'll get hot or he'll get hot, cold and lose me a week.
So I liked a lot of what I saw him in the preseason game. I also liked what I saw of Jeremy Lin.
Yeah.
But Trae Young is very springy. Like, he's very, it's the cliche of rolling downhill all the time.
Yeah.
He's got that, like, he must be fucking annoying to play against.
Oh, yeah.
Because the ball comes out of the net, even on made baskets, and you're just like, oh my God, are you running again?
It's crazy.
You know who doesn't run with him very well?
Jeremy Lin.
No, Jeremy Lin's he's all right. Mason Plumlee.
Oh, yeah.
Who looks like he's at the Y.
That's funny.
And wants to play in a half-court game.
What's his face? Will run with him.
Torian Prince?
Torian Prince, but also Collins. Collins is okay, bouncy, good. Jumpy. Then we got into the last couple of rounds of the draft, and I picked Jonathan Isaac, Markelle Fultz, Mario Hezonja, Josh Hart, and then...
who just got his option picked up for the Lakers.
Yeah, and then I left the draft and was just going to pick somebody up from the waiver wire, and it auto-drafted me Dirk Nowitzki, which was...
That's pretty great.
Rude, because I already put in a... You know, I guess my league won't hear about it until tomorrow, but I already put in a waiver claim for Harry Giles.
Oh.
So we'll see if it goes through.
Very good potential pick.
Yeah. Jeremy Lin was the last pick in our draft.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Jeremy Lin's going to have a better fantasy year than a lot of those other people.
I think so too. But
racists.
You know.
You're in a strict racist fantasy league.
Well, I'll tell Stefan, our one emailer who is in this league, and who actually.
Let's hear his email.
Who did he pick him? Oh, let me check.
He's not a racist.
Probably.
I think I mentioned this before, but I dropped Shaquille O'Neal from my fantasy team 1 year.
Oh,
because he made fun of Yao Ming.
Oh yeah, you did. Yeah, you told me about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's. So overall, how would you like? Give me a point. Like, give me a letter grade on my fantasy team.
Wait, your top player is Kawhi.
Top player is Kawhi.
Your second player was
Donovan Mitchell.
Okay. Head to head, does it stack all the categories up against each other?
Yes. So there's like 11 wins every week.
I'm going to give your draft a B.
Ooh, thank you.
Because excellent. I think getting Draymond is good.
Yeah.
I would say, so if it's Kawhi, Donovan, Draymond, who's your fourth best?
It was, what's his face?
You have a shot at some pretty good, like decently Gary filled Harris. Up, decently filled up categories.
Yeah.
The thing that your team doesn't really have,
yeah.
I think, is like the fact that Anthony Davis is going to have some like 50 point games.
Yeah. My scoring is low.
So it just depends on, I mean, did somebody get like a stacked team?
Yahoo, after the draft sends out an email that says like, this is where we think your team will place by the end of the year. And my team, came in very last place from the Yahoo autocomplete. And well, I was then, like, man, Yahoo, you can fuck right the hell off. Last year I got third place in our league, and Yahoo again predicted me to be the last place in the league.
Yeah.
All I can say is like, it's a computer doing those predictions. Computers suck. I've never used a computer in my life, and I'm very proud of that.
We don't use a computer for this podcast.
No, it's not. No,
we're on real to real.
Straight no computer. We record this on a.
And
on
you're a not using Casio. Computer to listen to this.
No, 100%.
You're at the town hall where a public acting troupe acts out this podcast.
We've relayed it to them, and we'll relay it to you.
It's
an alley-oop kind of podcast listening experience.
I do think that's the limitations of statistical modeling and computer-based like data stuff and all that, because we've talked before about like I love that kind of stuff. Like I love all the Sloan Institute bullshit, right? But it hasn't shown a great ability to predict forward. And a lot of that was also what was frustrating about like a lot of the Ringer discussions that I was listening to this week, which was that essentially everybody's just like, well, Utah's coming back. They have another year under their belt. I think everybody's basically like, I think they'll be like 15% better. And it's just a feeling.
It's a feeling.
And it's just like this. I actually think it's potentially a false assumption that a team just hangs around and gets better.
Well, you know? I mean, the assumption that you can kind of count on is that younger players will get better, right? So if you're 23 to 26, you're going to have a better year next year than before. But if you're older, you're going to get worse. So like most of their team is younger or has less right. NBA miles on them, right? You got Mitchell, you got Gobert, you got Exum, who, you know, people are thinking is going to have that year where he like finally
yeah.
jumps up, you know. Then you got your older players. You got Rubio. You got Ingles, who is not that old, but he is like 29, 30.
Right. So, but I'm curious if it's even true that like generally a 23-year-old has a better season the next year.
Yes, it is. Like that's the deal. It's like there's a point where if you're a good player, those are the years that you get better. And I think they're identifying that,
yeah.
you know, Mitchell and Gobert are good young players who are getting better. And like,
well, this is my question about people like Tatum.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
But particularly like I think of them like any one of them could be Michael Carter Williams.
Yes.
Who had like an astounding first 2 years of stats.
Okay. He had good stats, but even the advanced stats didn't like him when he won Rookie of the Year.
Ah.
Like that was not a thing where it was like, oh, this guy's definitely going to be a star for the rest of his career. It was like he won Rookie of the Year in maybe the weakest rookie class
uh-huh.
in, you know, 10 years.
I was just shocked when I actually looked at his rookie year stats.
Because he had like... stats. He had a lot of stats. It yeah. counted. He was counting those stats.
I guess I'm thinking of people like Devin Booker, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that people want to project him to being like an elite all-star.
I mean, he could be an elite all-star.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's always like a realm of probabilities with these types yes. of things too, right? And there's no way to actually know until it happens. And that, so you're just giving like, you know, I mean.
It's either disappointing or boring to me that we all kind of have the same, just like, I guess they'll be pretty, like when you're talking about Yahoo saying your team's going to be in last place.
Yeah.
That's also a little bit the computer just being like, well, you know. Draymond has had this sort of fantasy performance, and it's yeah. within a realm of plus or minus 10%.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really, like, I don't think any, I really doubt any models or human beings predicted Oladipo's jump.
No, I mean, it wasn't something that was predicted, right? Yeah. And that's what's
fun about it.
And that's why we play the game, yeah, baby. Yeah,
that's why we don't. All exist in a virtual simulation inside God's tears.
Yeah.
What's the email?
So our best friend, Stefan, sent us an email. Uh-huh. And he...
Still not clear if he's a racist or not.
He's 100% not a racist. I'm just going to throw it out there.
So one of us is sure. One of us is jury's out.
So he averaged our guesses uh-huh. for the teams, for our season predictions. And he found out that our total wins in the East, we predicted 595 wins mm-hmm. in the East, and we predicted 622 wins in the West.
Hmm.
So that puts us at a total of 1,217 wins.
Mm-hmm.
So in the NBA every year, there are 1,230 wins.
Ooh.
So we were very close to being perfect on our absolutely no research and no checking to make sure that the numbers were right predictions.
And also like a 622 to 595 or whatever.
Yeah.
Is probably like, that's a I would consider that a decent West East breakdown.
And that's his question is that the win differential for the West, the last three seasons in 2016, it was plus 14, 2017, it was plus 42. In 2018, it was plus 24. So his question is yeah. that this year we predict about the same kind of level of disparity from East to West, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is that how we actually feel? Like, do we feel that it's going to be similar to last year in East-West disparity?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel that way too.
The only major change is LeBron going West and Kawhi going East.
Yes. And to me, I think that the big difference is that there are just so many good West teams, but I think that with the way that the schedule works out, I don't think that there's much of an opportunity for it to hit that huge, huge swing of like plus 42 again. That's
uh-huh.
a huge amount of disparity.
I think that a lot of those wins this year are going to come from a team like the Lakers, where without LeBron going there, that would have been a place for Eastern teams to grab some wins.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to be anymore.
Yeah.
Also, the level of competition in the West for seeding is going to make it very important for you to win your games against the East.
Yeah.
Because especially when last year, what was the difference between like the third and the 10th seed?
Two games.
Yeah. So if you're serious about, like, you might miss the playoffs if you slack against the Hawks.
Yeah.
So I think that aside from Kawhi going to the East, I'm trying to think of what other talent has gone East. Which also, by the way, I don't understand why. Like, I guess I do understand because it's awesome to live on the West Coast. And I love most of the towns in the Western Conference. But, like, there's a part of me that's like, if I wanted to, like, have a shot at going to the finals every year, like, why don't I just go to the East?
Yeah. I mean, there were not a ton of free agents that switched spots this offseason. Like big free agents that switched spots were LeBron.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Cousins.
And
Jabari Parker.
You've said the top three players in the league.
I mean, I'm trying to think of like other people that actually switched teams.
Isaiah Thomas. Who's better, Isaiah Thomas or Jabari Parker?
Oh God, Isaiah Thomas.
I think so too.
I think Jabari Parker is garbage.
Garbagey
Parker.
Who are the strong teams in the East? Boston,
Toronto, Philly, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. Okay, and Indiana. I think Indiana is a good team to play against the West.
Yeah,
like they will play hard.
Oh yeah, they're gonna come into the Staples Center and win a game
against the
Clippers.
Yeah, but if the next East team is the Wizards, or
yeah, I mean whoever, the Wizards are up there, and so are.
So the Wizards.
The Heat.
That's the thing. If you're talking about the Wizards and the Heat versus even like Minnesota.
Yeah.
They're probably going to lose those games.
Yeah.
So unless Jimmy Butler goes to the Heat and yells at every other player on the court, no matter who they are.
Yeah. I mean, I want to hear Jimmy Butler yell at people on the court. I'm excited for tomorrow to see that happen to his teammates.
Oh my God. Yes.
That's like must watch TV, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. Was watching NBA.
Wait, I don't think that had happened the last time we did this podcast. Because didn't all this happen in the last week? When was the practice?
The where practice he yelled at was
like last Wednesday.
I think so, something like that.
It's you know, we've talked before about the acceleration of how fast news goes.
Yeah,
but like this was pretty crazy. The speed with which the Timberwolves. Like, they went Wednesday that practice where Jimmy Butler yelled at everybody.
Yeah.
And then there was, theoretically, a canceled practice the next day. And then, like, theoretically, a players-only meeting, which did or didn't happen.
May not have happened.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that Jimmy Butler basically has a direct line to tweet from an ESPN reporter's account.
Oh, who's that?
Any ESPN reporter. Yes. Like, whoever he wants. If he wants an interview with Rachel Nichols,
I mean, he can set up an interview within minutes.
If he wants Woj to tweet something nasty about management, he totally will for him.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So just to talk a little bit about Jimmy Butler, I don't think this week has been a good look for him. I think other people don't mind and whatever, but like, it rubs me the wrong way in a lot of ways of just... I don't know what.
I'm going to go with get that money, get out of Minnesota, and, you know, whatever. It's like, it's weird and it's dumb, but also the NBA is weird and dumb, and that's why I love it. So I'm like, I can't be mad at Jimmy Butler. It doesn't affect how I feel about him because, like, it's not like I had, like, amazing, like, Jimmy Butler fandom. Like, I mean, I don't know. I think he's good. I didn't want him to come to the Lakers. I don't know what people want me to think about Jimmy Butler.
You got your wish, Casey.
I bought an autographed Jimmy Butler basketball for $50 at a raffle one time. I gave it
to
my friend.
There is no merch that Casey won't consider.
Hey, I got this as a gift for a friend who was a Bulls fan, and this was when he was still on the Bulls. So,
but even so.
Even then, he came to my friend's house, and he yelled at the basketball. And he was like it was rough. Like he thought the basketball needed to be signed harder, and it was,
and also the basketball wasn't working hard enough.
It wasn't, no, not enough. And that's the problem.
Like, I don't care that much about Jimmy Butler. I don't care that much about Kat. I don't like Tibbs, but I think these kind of stories, you kind of identify with, you just think about your own workplaces.
Yeah.
And like, it depends on who you think you are. Are you the person that has been dealing with an asshole who just like yells at everybody or whatever? Or are you the iconoclast who no one works as hard as you?
Yeah.
And you've got to like set them all straight.
I don't know.
I'm sure lots of people have been on both sides of the coin, and it just kind of, I, in general, as an adult now, don't think that yelling at people is necessary.
No, yelling is never fun. Like, I used to like play sports, and I feel like we got yelled at all the time, and now I'm just like, why is yelling ever appropriate? Other than like when I want to, like, you know, yell at Ryan Braun that he did a bunch of steroids when I'm sitting in the crowd at a baseball game.
It's ingrained in a lot of sports macho culture, but then there's all these counterexamples of like coaches that don't do that shit.
Yeah.
That are like extremely successful.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, Tim Duncan too.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not like Tim Duncan didn't yell. I mean, he sometimes he would roll natural 20s and like he'd yell in extreme excitement.
Yeah, and he would also bug his eyes out at that little ref.
Joey Crawford, right?
Yeah, Joey Crawford.
He and Joey Crawford were not best of friends. Do not invite him on Tim Duncan's Magic Island Dungeons & Dragons giveaway.
So, I'm excited the season has started. The Celtics won the first game.
Yes, they did, and the Warriors won the second game.
What I watched of the game, the first game, they seemed like they were... I mean, they're just a well-coached team.
Yeah. But the first 3 minutes
there was a very bullshit Jaylen Brown highlight that like NBA.com insisted on telling me about, that Jaylen Brown hammered a dunk over Joel Embiid.
Oh, it was not that great of a
dunk. And it was, he actually got blocked by two hands.
That's very funny.
And the carom of the block happened to bank into the rim.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the type of like... Oh, yeah, I dunked on you, dude. Like, are you kidding me? I blocked you, and you got lucky.
Yeah, he literally got blocked by two hands.
Hey, what can he say? No one's ever blocked. I mean, you know, I appreciate that. Blocked. I've never been blocked, so I don't know what the deal is here.
Right. Wait, now you're expanding the definition that you've never been blocked at all.
I'm going to roll with it. I'm going to roll with it.
Just to go back for 10 seconds, Trae Young does have an issue with getting blocked at the rim.
Oh, he's tiny.
Yeah,
he's tiny.
So he's great at getting to the lane. He's just got to learn that discretion of when to go for the layup.
There be trees in them hills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I did not see much of the Warriors game.
Can we... I only saw a smidgen of the Warriors game. But can we talk about the fact that Shaq and Ernie and Kenny... and Chuck are back.
Oh, sure.
So, no joke, 2 minutes into inside the NBA before the game, Charles Barkley was talking about how he thought that there were unisex underwear.
I mean, theoretically.
Theoretically, yeah, great. And then everybody else on the panel was just roasting him because it came out in the news recently that Charles Barkley hasn't worn underwear in 10 years.
Oh my God.
So that was the hot topic, this, wonderful, fine beginning day of basketball. And it's, pretty wild, that those three guys are like our basketball gurus. Like they're the guys who get to talk about basketball on TV.
Yeah.
Because, they're so fun, but also, what they talk about is so dumb.
Yes.
And like, here's the thing. I love it.
I love it too.
I don't not love it. But it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I don't, I feel weird about
it. I think that they are a testament to the fact that chemistry is like, we really just watch television for chemistry.
Yeah.
And it kind of doesn't matter what they're talking about, because I have shown Inside the NBA to people that don't give a shit about basketball at all.
Yeah.
And they think it's, There are certain episodes of that,
yeah,
or clips or whatever that are just funny.
Just get those dudes laughing about some dumb thing that happened, or like when Shaq trips and they replay it 100 times,
yeah.
And or when Charles does something stupid with his face, or
yeah,
you know, truly, just I'm so glad that our league can have such a wonderfully funny and dumb thing that is like, it's up there as like the pantheon of this is what should be, this is our league. This is the good thing about our league, mm-hmm. right? We will show people this. This is the way to get people into basketball. And I love that it's inside the NBA.
I think that it's also like what is reasonably something you can expect from good television. For example, it's a thing that is not DVRable as much because it's like you just want to see them talk to each other. It's essentially like a podcast about basketball.
Yeah.
Right after the basketball happens.
Damn.
Because I actually like I really like Watch What Happens on Bravo as well.
Yeah.
Because that's a show that like you just have to watch that show on Bravo and then watch people talk about it right afterwards.
Yeah. You
know, then they try to do like Talking Dead or whatever. And they got the most boring person in the world to host it. But, you know, I think it doesn't really exist for baseball or football. In a way, I think they tried to get that going with, you know, Howie Long and Terry Bradshaw.
And they're trying to do it with, like, A-Rod in baseball for the playoffs. And, like,
yeah,
you really got to hate yourself if you like A-Rod, right? Like, what is there about A-Rod that's, like, good?
Yeah. Now, did he not do steroids?
A-Rod did some steroids.
Okay. I don't understand why he has a public persona at all now.
I don't. Here's the thing. I kind of don't give a shit if you did steroids.
I don't really either, except that everybody else was ostracized. And it's not like that A-Rod has some great personality that we have to have. It's not like he's Michael Strahan and we need him on morning television or something.
Or in our movies about strippers.
Yeah. Side note, I was in Cleveland right after they got eliminated from the playoffs. So me casually being in a car being like, what's that stadium? And being like, it's the Indians.
Ooh. Yeah. Rest in hell to Chief Wahoo and his.
For sure. Bullshit.
No more iconography.
One of my Lyft drivers talked about the Cavs winning and then described, he said, the parade when the Cavaliers won was so amazing. I just like, if the Browns were to ever win the Super Bowl, I can't even like describe how incredible it will be for us. And like his like fervor for just, and I was kind of like, well, it seems like it'd be great if they just made the playoffs because they got some hope this year.
I mean, not anymore. I mean,
now they're 2-3, but they all love this Baker kid.
People do love that football guy.
Yeah.
God,
I got suckered into watching a YouTube condensed highlights of Patriots Chiefs. It's this new format they're putting on YouTube where you can, it still lasts like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's way too long.
Yeah.
And I was only watching because I wanted to see the Patriots lose.
Yeah.
I should have just checked the score before I watched this 15 probably. Minute clip because I haven't seen Patrick Mahomes play.
Yeah.
And I was like, this guy's supposed to be the best quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
Cause he threw some shit passes.
He threw some shit passes in the first half, but then he led them back to take the lead in the second half.
Well, I guess the thing is like that's literally the only 15 minutes I've ever seen of this guy play.
Yeah.
My impression of him is he's like on the playground and just chucking balls up.
He's really kind of just
Brett Favre style.
He's going out there Brett Favre style. It's so hard because this is my year that I'm divesting from football. And it's so hard to do that in a year when you're, you know, the team that you,
what is your team?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh,
the team that you've rooted for forever, who has, never had a good homegrown quarterback ever, finally has a good homegrown quarterback. And the team is good and fun to watch.
And you're wanting to disconnect from the NFL.
I am. Yeah. Bit. Yeah.
Well, because of on and off field issues,
because I believe that football is bad for people.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And so I cannot condone it. And I mean, I guess, hey, we're here now, so I guess I will bring it up. But I was had some weird news that I found out over the weekend. So I played high school football in the South Bay, Manhattan Beach, Maricosta.
What was the team like mascot?
Our team was the Mustangs. We were the Miracosta Mustangs. So if you've ever seen me in here recording this podcast with a shirt that says Mustang Football, I have like 3 or 4 of those shirts. One of them is like getting like so ripped up with holes, but they're like, they're great shirts for me to wear around because they're just like the softest shirts in the entire world.
The high school that I was shooting my film at on Friday was in Cleveland. It was called Brush High School. The mascot was the Arcs.
The Brush Arcs.
So on the wall was just Brush Arcs. which is just a weird.
It sounds very weird.
Hard to root for.
So team. like Ark of the Covenant,
like an Ark of Lightning.
Oh, okay. ARC?
Yes.
Ooh, I don't know.
Very like strange. It's no Hermosa Beach Mustangs.
Manhattan Beach, Mira Costa, Manhattan Beach. Anyways, so I grew up in Hermosa Beach, and when you're a kid in Hermosa Beach, you get to choose which high school you go to because we don't have a high school. So you'd either go to Redondo Union or Mira Costa.
Are you Manhattan in the middle Beach. Between those two cities?
I'm not. I'm closer to Manhattan Beach.
Okay.
Where I grew up. So, but I really wanted to go to Redondo as a kid because when I was a kid, we were in an ASO league, Hermosa Manhattan, and all the Manhattan kids were dickheads to me. Mm. So I was like, I'm going to go to Redondo and it'll be great. And then I went to like the orientation for both and I was like, oh, I hate Redondo and it's far. I'm going to go to Costa instead because they were better for a school for me. But I could have gone to Redondo. So I played football all 4 years and I was a captain of my team all 4 years. Like
all 4 years?
All 4 years.
First year on the team?
Our freshman team, I was a captain.
Oh, okay, okay. Junior varsity, you like walked onto the varsity team, you're like, I'm fucking captain.
No. I did get called up to varsity at the end of the year.
A freshman year.
Yeah. But hey. They do that with all the best freshmen so they can like experience all the what best, it's like to be on
all varsity. The best people, Casey. Mm.
And I guess I was wrong. Junior year, I wasn't a captain, but I was a starting tackle. And senior year, I was a captain and starting tackle. We played Redondo, our rivals, every year. My freshman year, we lost. No, we tied them. Sophomore year, we won. Junior year, we won. Senior year, we lost. So It was like pretty
even. But this is a rivalry.
It's a rivalry. Like our two schools were rivals. So the guy who... was the captain all of the years at Redondo. His name was Kevin Allison. He was so good. He was a safety. He was a running back. He hit like a monster. He was so good.
Oh, two-way player.
Two-way player.
Did you play two-way?
When I was a freshman and sophomore, I played two-ways. But when I was a senior, they didn't like to have seniors play two-ways unless they had to. Anyways, he went on to... I chose to stop playing football and start going to school. Was recruited to play at USC. And he was a star at USC for 4 years. He was a all Pac-10 player.
Is this like a Ryan Khalil kind of time period?
Yeah.
At USC?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it was like 2010 to 2000.
Okay.
No, 2006 to 2010.
Okay.
So not Ryan Khalil, a little before Ryan Khalil. This was like Reggie Bush.
Oh, geez.
Lendale White, Vince Young,
right?
Matt Leinart.
By the way, were you recruited at all?
Only for community college.
Oh, okay.
And then I decided to instead go to a four-year university based on my academics.
Probably a good decision.
I think it was the right decision for me. And so Kevin played for 4 years. He was a captain of their team his senior year.
Jeez.
He got drafted by the Chargers. And ended up that football was bad for him. He got cut by the Chargers because he had some issues with painkillers that mm-hmm. he got caught with in San Diego, and the Chargers cut him, and he like ended up having a long like battle with mental illness and struggle. And I found out last week that he was walking in the on the 5 freeway in the valley, and he was struck by a van and killed. And it really hit me. I was somebody who played football for a while, but I mm-hmm. wasn't I was a lineman, and linemen, you hit people, but you don't hit them at running at full speed with your head.
You're hitting them in close quarters.
Close quarters. It's something where you're not really hurting yourself as much as you're.
Yeah.
I think about
he was a running back.
He was a running back and
subjecting himself to
and a safety. Like he was like a hard hitting safety. Like there's a play
where did he play at USC?
He played safety.
Oh geez.
And so I remember he had this hit on DeSean Jackson when DeSean Jackson was at Cal, and it was like he murdered DeSean Jackson. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kevin could hit like crazy. I want to send my condolences to his family. His two brothers coach at Redondo Union now.
Uh-huh.
And, it's a, it's a really sad thing. And I feel awful. And like, I think about like what football means to me and how I'm trying to like let go of football a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. It just like, it hurts to think like this guy was like my rival on the field. Right. Yeah. Like he was somebody who, when we were playing, trying to win, he beat us. He beat us real bad my senior year.
Right.
And like that guy played football so hard that it broke his brain.
Yeah.
Right.
And had like incentive for years to do so.
Yeah. And it's not good for anybody. It's not good for people. And it's a sad thing that, that's where it is for me.
Yeah. Because I don't have an emotional connection to the league or to the sport. It seems very like not great. Like, why is this a thing? I think the thing, people seem to have attachments to it to the point that, you know,
yeah,
they can't accept that. Like, oh, and it seems like the league is trying to figure out, but like, I don't know what there is to figure out necessarily. Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, football was a huge thing for my family, right?
Yeah.
Like my mom specifically, not my dad, but my mom, huge football fan.
Yeah.
You know, we watched football every Saturday, every Sunday. It was exactly what I did growing up. It was, you know, we lived and breathed professional and college football as a kid.
Yeah.
And then I went to play football and it was like, we were in the booster club. My dad took pictures down on the field and my mom was always there helping out. And like, it was just like, it was a huge thing. Like it was a point of pride, you know? And like, I remember I would tell a story. There was a time my junior year when we were playing, I think against Inglewood, and we were able to like, it was me at tackle and my teammate at guard. And we were like consistently hitting this one kid across from us, because we were like running the ball down his throat specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And we hit him so much and so hard that he had to go to the hospital after the game. Mm-hmm. And like, I used to tell that story as a point of pride. Like we yeah. were so much better than him that we sent him to the hospital. Yeah. And now I can only look back on that with like shame.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's something that we're like, that didn't, like, why did we have to be in a situation where I like intentionally hurt somebody over and over and over again for
right.
what? For what? And I can't, like, if it was an accident, right? Okay, fine. But our specific game plan was to like hit this kid as hard as we could.
Yeah.
Play after play after play after play until he could not play anymore.
Right.
Right?
Yes. I was part of a similar game plan in a rugby match.
Yeah.
Of like wanting to hit the opposing fly half, actually running the ball at him.
Yeah.
Over and over. And the interesting thing is in basketball, you can do the same thing. You can exploit a weakness.
Yeah.
But it generally doesn't have to do with
you physically hurting somebody. Yeah,
it has to do with like that guy can't stay in front of you.
Yeah.
So we're going to drive to the basket over and over and over.
Yes.
The only thing we're abusing is the rim.
Yeah. And the Shaq has broken some rims yeah. in his day.
Well, the thing that strikes me as well is your story along with his is on the one hand kind of like this fork in the road where he kept going and you didn't, right?
Yeah.
But, and it sounds like you're saying that he had a talent level that was different than yours.
Way higher than mine. I'm not right. going to say that I was anywhere near as talented as he was, but that we were in the same,
right.
like, position.
So that's also probably, like, maybe it's a better choice for you to go to a four-year college.
And, yes.
Right?
Definitely.
So I think upon first hearing that, I would think, like, well, I mean, like, Casey's better suited for a career and this guy's better. He's got the talent to be a professional athlete. So, you know, it's not necessarily something that like Casey needs to identify with in terms of like potential path or whatever. But if you got recruited by a junior college, you could have gone to a junior college and gotten a concussion.
I 100% could have.
Like, so it's not like you don't need to have access to a D1 school to get your brain injured.
No.
If anything, it's like, I actually have, when I have played rugby, when I play with less experienced people, it is far more dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I don't.
It's probably not true of the NFL, but.
I don't remember getting a concussion. I don't think I did.
Yeah.
I feel like my only injury that I ever had, I had some nerve injuries, like uh-huh. stingers, and I had a pretty serious knee injury my senior year. But other than that, I walked away pretty, like, scot-free
yeah.
from it. And so I think about it and what it means to me and like the good things that I got from football, like to be a leader and to experience excellence and winning.
Cause yeah.
like, we didn't lose a game. I think in my first 3 years of football, through all three levels of our football team, we lost maybe two games.
Oh.
We were like a local dominant powerhouse.
Right.
So I got to experience winning, and then my senior year, everything went off the rails, and I got to experience losing, and I got to experience like what it meant to like lead in less than ideal conditions.
Right.
But what is specific to that about football?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing. Right.
Like, no, nothing except that the structures support it.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like there's so many different things that people can do to experience these types of things.
Yeah.
To, like, learn lessons in good ways.
It's yeah. tough because there are like American structures built around these things that are like, we consider sports important.
Yeah.
So this is one of the mediums that we communicate these lessons through. You know, another one is theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very but, true. But there's an element of.
And the only injuries you get in theater are if you do the Spider-Man musical.
Yeah. Well, if you're really method, no. I will say though that like I've been through a lot in my life, and I didn't start playing rugby till I was till I was old, basically, like much later than I should have started playing rugby. And then my team went and won like a national or international like gay rugby tournament.
Nice.
And it's bizarre, but like the feeling of winning that championship is in like my top two feelings in yep. my entire life.
Yeah.
So there is something of, and I think some of it is physical exhaustion.
Yeah.
Like that those are the kind of lessons that are through the physical struggle that don't exist in like doing the Crucible by Arthur
yeah.
Miller.
Yeah.
So there are parts of it that are not replaceable.
Yeah.
Theoretically, I don't know.
Specifically football, like, no, like you can do that in soccer or basketball or baseball.
Yeah. But there is something about like breaking tackles and tackling that yeah. is very satisfying.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to tell me yeah. how fun it is to hit another person with your body
yeah.
In a way that makes it so that you are the clear winner.
Yeah.
Like it's fun.
It's even fun in basketball. Yeah. Like when you're setting picks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, you know, yeah. Actually, the other day, daydreamed about hitting someone in a rugby match that pissed me off. This is like in 2008 that I'm still annoyed with.
Yeah.
Because he jumped over a potential tackler, which in rugby is illegal.
Oh.
You're not allowed to like hurdle someone. It's not really enforced, but it's considered a dangerous play. It's a law that's there because they don't want cleats to be raised to like eye level, essentially. Yeah. And I like got caught in a reverie of like 2 minutes in my head about like this one particular guy who loved to hurdle
mm-hmm.
and me like going low, acting like I was going to go low to tackle him and then just raising up and punching him in the nuts.
Man, that must've been a high hurdle.
Yeah. Yeah. Rugby's interesting because there's a lot of laws like that they try to enforce. It's the argument for rugby is that because there are no pads, that it actually ends up being safer because the velocities yeah. are not as like damaging.
Yeah, you don't feel as protected, so you have to protect yourself.
You don't feel that you have any weapon on you to inflict. If anything you do to somebody is probably going to hurt you as well.
Yeah,
as opposed to having a helmet to just like impale somebody with.
Yeah.
You know. Well, it's very sad.
Yeah.
And that's what people come to the podcast for.
Yeah.
Sad football talk.
Sad football
that's
talk.
That's what the show is called now.
Yeah, we changed the name.
Are we full blown into like regular NBA schedule starting tomorrow?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's like 12 games tomorrow.
And when is the first Lakers game? Is it tomorrow?
Thursday.
Ooh.
We TNT. We start out playing against our heated arena rivals. Sorry, I said that in a weird way. I hate when they go up and play in Portland because it seems like they never win in Portland.
Uh-huh.
We're playing in Portland on Thursday night.
Well, condolences to the Allen family.
Yes, yeah.
Paul Allen, who actually, I like Paul Allen a lot. And I don't like the Trailblazers, but I liked the way he interacted with that franchise. I believe he was kind of the first like Silicon Valley, I'm going to buy a sports team dude.
I couldn't tell you if
I know. I think he was the first one to sort of pierce that veil of I'm kind of like new money. I'm new tech money. I'm going to own a,
yeah,
a franchise. And then Drew Carey bought the Seattle Sound or whatever they are.
Oh boy.
So
he's an LA improviser guy, or he like
essentially. Yeah. He's done more to promote improv than either of us have.
That's true. And then we mention our shows at the end of this podcast.
If you count it by the number of times that we get asked, is your show like Whose Line Is It Anyway?
It's 100 times. It's all the time.
100 times for every 50
times.
And
the answer is
no.
No. But like at our best, like maybe. And at their best, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Also, they shoot like... Peek behind the curtain for people who watch Whose Line Is It Anyway.
Yeah, people
they
don't
shoot
know.
For 3 hours to get like a 28-minute episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff being thrown out. So Lakers will start up Thursday.
We'll have some.
Is there a doubleheader Thursday then?
There is a doubleheader. I think there's 3 or 4 games on Thursday. But yeah, the Lakers are playing in the second half of the TNT doubleheader on Thursday. So.
You know what I thought we might want to do? Maybe we can pick like games this year that are like, we're both going to watch the game.
Ooh.
And have a little, and we can sort of do our best to not just always be like, let's pick the Lakers and the whatever.
Yeah.
Like let's pick a Magic Grizzlies game at some point.
Okay. All right.
And like both make sure that we've seen it and we can talk about it.
Yeah. So send us an email if there's a game over the next week that you want us to watch.
For sure.
We may not watch it live, but we will record it. Or
send us an email of a game you want to watch. We probably won't watch it, but no, we will.
No.
You know, we probably won't get to see it live, but we can both have. And by the way, if you see, like if you request a game and you see it and you've got thoughts.
Send us an email.
Send us an email or record an audio message.
Ooh.
We'll just edit it right in.
Edit that baby right in.
The last thing I have to say is that the postman brought me my Lakers Thunder tickets.
Ooh.
And my Lakers Warriors tickets.
Very nice.
I think I bought these Thunder tickets with the potential of selling them at some point.
Yeah.
But I forgot how much I spent on these tickets.
You spent a lot of money.
And they were expensive. Because these are both tier... The Thunder, I think, is a tier 3 ticket.
Yeah.
The Warriors ticket is a tier 2 ticket.
Yeah. What's a tier 1 ticket? Probably Warriors on the weekend.
No. I mean, seating.
Oh!
Like, my seats for the Warriors are in the 200s.
Got it. Yes.
So they are... $300. So swag. That might be something I sell to cover the cost of all the other tickets.
Yeah.
You know, I'm torn about that because I'd like to see the Warriors play. I don't think I've seen them live. Have you seen them live?
No, I have not.
I feel like I have seen LeBron play live.
Yeah.
But it's weird. I was like, oh, I somehow mentally justified spending this much money on tickets. Okay.
Hey, that's what StubHub's for.
Yeah. I actually think that I'm pretty confident that most of my tickets can be sold for at or above what I paid for them.
Great. Yeah. They're an investment. Okay. You're an investment banker right now.
I mean, to me, these are like, it's like the stock market.
Yeah.
The other thing I might spend money on that I almost clicked yesterday.
What?
Putting money on Ted Cruz to win the Texas Senate race. Because that way, if he wins, I will at least have some consolation.
Oh, I hate that idea.
It's like hedging against my own wishes.
Yeah. Oof.
What do you hate about that idea?
In that, like, it's bad juju. It's just like a luck thing. Like, and like, I'm not a huge like believer in just the random thing of luck, but that to me speaks of like the defeatism that is so prevalent in the Democrats.
Yeah.
Right now.
This would be so like the equivalent would be like me picking the Celtics to win the championship.
Yeah.
You don't like any of these ideas.
No, these are all ideas that make me cry.
This is me picking betting that I'm in a certain timeline and then being rewarded if I have the indignity of living in that timeline.
Yeah, oh god, what a timeline. Ah, Ted Cruz.
A timeline where the Celtics win the championships and Ted Cruz wins the Senate race.
God.
Is not a good one.
Ugh.
And we might be in it, Casey.
God, Ted Cruz is such a shithead.
Not related to basketball. I highly suggest people watch Beto O'Rourke.
Ugh.
Clips of him. Perfect.
He seems very inspiring. He seems like a good politician. He's excited to see what he can do when he hopefully wins. And
you know what? He seems like someone that's going to be playing basketball at some point.
Yeah.
If he's like a senator or a president.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to have those Obama style. He's lanky. I think he's got some length.
Yeah.
They should make all the candidates do an NBA combine.
Yeah. And he can skateboard too. So it's cool.
He plays drums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I guess vote Beto. Vote yes on B and yes on 10.
Well, you can't vote anything on 9 in California.
Yeah, it's true. They took it off the ballot.
They took it off the ballot, which is, I didn't even know what it was.
It was, but let's make 3 states.
Yeah, which I would have voted for.
Really?
Yes. Send us an email with your thoughts and also what game you want us to talk about. Otherwise, we'll just arbitrarily pick one.
Yeah.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.